Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Friday show. Jess Romero, Anita Romero, husband and wife team.
Husband and wife, Sarah and Tobias.
Sacrament of marriage in action.
Absolutely.
How come I hear feedback? Okay, it was probably my computer. Well, welcome. Remember, this is the month of May. And Anita, what is the month of May in relation to Catholics? What would you tell people that the month of May is?
Okay, the month of May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In May, it's also spring in North America, and the flowers are beginning to bloom, which symbolizes new life. It was Mary's fiat that to bear Jesus to the world, which gives us new life.
Amen.
Our Lady is the new Eve of the new creation. This month, we will also celebrate Mother's Day, which is Sunday. And we also want to pray for those mothers that have passed, and those mothers that have aborted their children. We got to pray for their conversion.
Yes.
And those mothers who've abandoned their children, we got to pray for their conversion, because they had a response. They were given a gift, and they threw the gift away.
So we pray for that God has mercy. We pray that they had final repentance, act of contrition before they died. And we pray for the ones that are alive right now, that they may come to Christ, come to know Jesus Christ.
Right.
By the way.
And I like the fact that our church has given us this month. This has been a tradition. And for the whole month of Mary, the entire month, she gets the entire month.
Of honor,
Of honor. And we earthly mothers, we only get one day.
Yeah.
But she deserves it.
That's right.
She's the mother of God.
Yeah, so she gets a whole month. Anyway, if you're a Catholic, we should be honoring her every day with the daily rosary. So we should be honoring her for practicing Catholics 365 days a year.
Absolutely.
By the way, I think you're going to like what you hear in these shows. So if they like what they hear, what can they do, Anita?
If you like to hear, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, and so we can be notified and share the show with others. That's what we want you to do, is share this show, because we want to just evangelize. You want to bring people to Christ. And this is one of the ways and methods. This is the most modern way of using modern technology to help evangelize your family members, your friends, your enemies, anybody that you encounter on the street.
This is what St. Paul would be using, and all the apostles right now. They'd be right now having their St. Paul's podcast.
Absolutely. And today is the first Friday of the month, where our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and gave her 12 promises for those who have a strong devotion to His Sacred Heart.
And what's the promise today?
Okay, the promise today is that I will pour abundant blessings on all their undertakings.
Mm.
So that means all your work, everything that you do in love of Christ, your work, your daily chores at home, everything that you, He's going to bless you abundantly. But remember, you need to have, have your Sacred Heart, picture your Sacred Heart in the primacy of your home. And just to remind people.
Usually the living room, that's the most prominent place.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we have.
Yeah. You know, when we consecrate ourselves to our Lord and our Lady, it says it right in the morning offering. I consecrate to you my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. That's what we're consecrating. Or another way of saying it, the penitential rite, we say thought, word, and deed. We're consecrating every day in prayer in the morning to our Lord and our Lady, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds.
Yep.
That covers everything. Hey, let's start off with an opening prayer. We want to get into the strength of Mary and Catholic devotion. We want to spend the rest of the show talking about the strength of Mary and Catholic devotion.
Yeah, we're going to start.
There's a prayer called August Queen of Heaven.
It's a strong prayer.
It was given to a Catholic nun, Saint Bernardine, I believe. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
August Queen of the heavens, heavenly Sovereign of the angels, thou who from the beginning has received from God the power and the mission to crush the head of Satan, we humbly beseech thee to send thy holy legions, so that under thy command and through thy power, they may pursue the demons and combat them everywhere.
suppress their boldness and drive them back into the abyss. O good and tender Mother, Thou will always be our love and hope. O Divine Mother, send Thy holy angels to defend us and to drive far away from us the cruel enemy. Holy angels and archangels, defend us, guard us. Amen.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a prayer that's found in Father Ripperger's, and it's called the Exilium Christianorum prayers. Him and his whole team from the DeLorean Fathers, they came up with those exorcism prayers for lay people. They're minor exorcism prayers. That's one of the last prayers at the end of Auxilium Christianorum. Yes. For those that have my book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, it's on page 117. For those that have Father Ripperger's book, it's called Deliverance Prayers for the Lady. It's also in that book as well.
Yeah.
And it's also, you could also put the app on your iPhone as well. So. Yeah. There's no reason why nobody, we should be praying these prayers every single evening.
Every day for protection, and that's what Jesse and I do. We make sure that that's one of the prayers we pray together for sure before we go to bed.
Yeah, because we got our own prayer life as well, too, you know. But that one right there, we have to pray that one together.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the strength of Mary and Catholic devotion. One of the things that most Catholics that practice their faith are familiar with is the brown scapular, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I try to kiss my brown scapular every morning and a crucifix every morning.
Mine right here.
As I put it on. The brown scapular of the Carmelite order has become a very important symbol of devotion to Mary. Yet the scapular is also a symbol of spiritual warfare. Why? It's the uniform of the legions. And notice the word I actually use, legions, which means 6,000 Roman soldiers. Mm-hmm. That's what the word legion means.
Mm-hmm.
The scapular is the uniform of the legions of spiritual warriors that fight under the banner of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, I want you to listen to a small little excerpt from a novena to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Look at this small little prayer. It says this, quote, "How strange it seems to think of Mary as a warrior, the gentle maid of Nazareth, the virginal mother, the mother of the Prince of Peace, is still called, and properly called, more terrible than armies in battle array. And so she is. Mary, conqueror of heresies. Mary, triumphant always in the battle with sin."
Mm-hmm.
"When we put on the scapular, which is Mary's uniform, we join in a special way the regiment of which Mary is the queen, an honorary colonel. We pledge ourselves to do battle against the enemy of the human race. We will be victorious as Mary is victorious and conquering as Christ is conquering." Okay, this is a Mount Carmel novena prayer.
I love that. The sentence where it says, "Mary, triumph always in the battle with sin." This is playing the rosary and asking for our Lord, for our Lady's intercession for those that are in deep sin, pornography. This, either you, if you persevere and asking our Lady to heal you from this addiction,
or any of the seven deadly sins, sloth, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, avarice, pride,
she will come through. But again, it's all about free will, perseverance, and constancy.
That's right. Amen. There's a beautiful picture, Anita, on the internet of Our Lady. It's a striking picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe,
mm-hmm.
who's defeating a seven-headed dragon. And by the way, that's the seven-headed dragon mentioned.
Very hideous
in the
also.
Book of Revelation. Yeah, then there's another saint that talks about spiritual warfare here in relation to Mary.
Yeah, there's a saint, St. John Bosco. Those, I'm sure many of you are familiar with him. In northern Italy, about 200 years ago, this saint, St. John Bosco, promoted devotion to Mary, help of Christians. That's another title of Mary in the Litany of Loreto. For those of you that pray your rosary, there's the Litany of Loreto. You pray the litanies, calling on our Blessed Mother to pray for us. And she has different titles, but this is one of the titles, Mary, Help of Christians. His own prayer, he used this prayer to her to express the power and authority of the Mother of God under this title. He said,
look at this beautiful prayer he makes, he says.
Yes, he said, "Mary, most powerful virgin, You are the mighty and glorious protector of the church. You are the marvelous help of Christians. You are awe-inspiring as an army in battle array. You have destroyed heresy in the world in the midst of our anguish, our struggle, and our distress. Defend us from the power of the enemy, and at the hour of our death, receive our souls into heaven.
Amen.
And that's what's happening right now. It hasn't stopped. We are in the midst of our anguish and struggle and distress. Defend us from the power of the enemy. What's happening right now in our society, the confusion of marriage, confusion of this transgender ideology that's being pushed upon us. That
sanctity of human life. Yeah.
Yes, this is our anguish. This is our struggle. This is our distress. So what do we ask? We ask Mary to defend us from the power of the enemy, which is Satan and his dominions, and all those people here on earth that look like us. They're our enemies.
That's right. Sons of God and sons of Satan. 1 John 3:10. There's two teams in the world. You know, it's beautiful, Anthony, this prayer that you just shared of St. John Bosco. There's all these powerful Marian titles.
Right.
You know, St. John Bosco calls her most powerful virgin. Okay. He calls her awe-inspiring as an army. Destroyer of heresies. We'll continue talking about...
Speaking of Our Lady, here she is.
The virgin most powerful. Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros.
La Morenita.
Pray for us. Stick around. TGIF, thank God I'm forgiven. Ah, you thought I was going to say thank God it's Friday. Now, I'm not a secular humanist. I care about more the salvation of my soul than my bodily pleasures. We're talking about the amazing power, intercessory, coercive power that the Blessed Virgin Mary has against Satan. And this is something, this is an area, by the way, of blindness within Protestantism. Protestants, oftentimes, they'll have what they call deliverance ministries, and they have absolutely no recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as far as that goes, that makes whatever they're doing completely deficient. But, Anita, you're talking about Mary Help of Christians right now from St. John Bosco. St. Alphonsus of the Liguori also makes some commentary on that title.
Right, on that title, yeah. St. Alphonsus Liguori. You know, on the title of Help of Christians, Mary, Help of Christians. And St. John Damascene called Mary, he quote, the prepared and always ready help of Christians by which they are delivered from dangers.
Close
so
quote,
there
yeah.
you go, the close quote. She delivers us from dangers. She's our help. I remember Jesse sharing you a while back in one of our shows that how Mary helped them when they were traveling, his family, and to Mexico. My mother-in-law called on, said, let's pray the rosary, and they were delivered. She helped them. So at that point, you know, she put her trust in the Lord and his mother and placed all their life in there and trusted, and look what happened. He's still here.
Yeah, maybe I'll share the last segment. I'll share that story. We'll see.
It's just a riveting and wonderful story.
Yeah.
You know, because the outcome was the will of God.
Yes.
The outcome was all the will of God.
Right.
So let me continue
Cosmas of Jerusalem
writes. He also writes, all powerful to deliver us from sin and hell.
Wow. So Mary's all-powerful deliverer.
She's all-powerful. St. Bernard, addressing Mary, says, thou art an invincible warrior in defense of thy servants, fighting against the devils who assail them.
So this is old Catholicism. This isn't something like modern Vatican II. We're calling Mary Help of Christians. This is old, old patristic Catholicism.
Yep.
Medieval Catholicism, the Church Fathers. Now, so what makes the rosary such a powerful weapon against Satan?
I hope people don't think that old is bad. Old is good. Old is good. Old in the Catholic faith is unchanging.
Yeah.
It is unchanging. Okay.
So, yeah, and that's an important point, because what we're dealing with today is the heresy of modernism.
Yep.
Where we want to scrap everything that's medieval, patristic, scholastic. And what we're dealing with right now is the heresy of modernism. That's what we say, Our Lady Help of Christians, pray for us to crush the heresy of modernism.
Yep.
So what makes the rosary such a powerful weapon against Satan? I'll make it brief. Remember that according to sacred tradition, Lucifer, a good angel, and all the angels were told, they were made good, they were told about the incarnation before the creation of the world, that God would become a man in the womb of the Virgin. Well, this was totally unacceptable to this proud seraphim, this seraphic angel called Lucifer, and so he stood up and shouted, "Non serviam." That's Latin. I don't know if he spoke Latin or not, but that's the way the church fathers said that he said. Okay, we don't know if he spoke Latin, but he—that means I will not serve. So let me finish what Lucifer was telling God with that statement. His proud, envious thoughts, and that sentence, Lucifer was actually saying, I will not serve the God-man Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. nor will I honor his mother. In that non serviam, that's what he was saying. And so, the incarnation, God becoming man, is what he railed against. And this is what separates Christianity from any other religion. Just think about the monotheistic religions. Islam, they say God is a solitary supernatural being. We agree. But they don't believe that Allah ever became incarnate. Yeah. Judaism, same thing, believes that Yahweh is a solitary supernatural, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever being present everywhere. But Judaism doesn't believe that Yahweh became incarnate or that Yahweh has a son. And so the incarnation separates Catholic Christianity from any other religion, and it separates Jesus from any other human being.
Yeah, you know that statement that Lucifer said, "Non serviam," I will not serve. That's what many of the women, the feminists, are now touting. They are touting, "I will not serve." So, for those of you women that are not serving your husband, not serving your children in the domestic family unit, you are touting that without saying it. You are touting, I want to say, Satan's fiat.
Yeah. Yeah, Satan's
fiat. Non-servium. I will not serve you, husband.
And that's a result of the feminist. That's the result of the feminist movement in the United States.
And it has creeped into the home. And many women, that's where the struggle is. Their usurpation of their husband. I'm not going to serve you. You get your coffee.
You do it yourself.
You get yourself. You know, just little things. I know a lot of us, we have.
And that's
women.
That's Luciferian.
That's Luciferian. Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good comment. Wow, that's. I'm glad you jumped in there with that. The whole thing about the incarnation is so powerful, Anika. Mm-hmm. That notice in all the prayers of the church, every mm-hmm. time it says, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, everywhere, mm-hmm. the Latin Mass, the Novus Ordo Mass, mm-hmm. the Angelus, it says kneel down or bow your waist.
Right.
Because that sentence, that's the whole essence of Christianity, God becoming
right,
a man.
Man.
So, like if you do the 12 and an Angelus, it'll mm-hmm. say right there, it'll say genuflect right there in the prayer at Mass, the Novus Ordo Mass. During the Creed, it'll say bow. The Latin Mass, you'll kneel down during that.
Yeah.
In other words,
during Christmas,
yeah.
in the Novus Ordo
yes.
Mass, there's you
kneel down for
during
the
incarnation. Yeah.
Because again, that's this is what the devil fears.
Yes.
It's that God became a man. God came to earth. And so this is why the recitation of the rosary is something that the devil fears. It's a reminder that God became a man, took on a human body, died for our sins mm-hmm. on a cross, and rose from the dead. And he did all that with a right. human body.
Right. He used that. He used us. I mean, he came down to be an example. This is how I want you to be as spiritual and as God-fearing people.
Yeah. The whole goal of the Catholic faith is to imitate Jesus, not imitate some knucklehead on basketball, baseball, football, politics. Imitating Jesus will help you live in a state of grace. Right. It's that simple. But let's continue talking about the rosary here as kind of a remedy.
Yeah. Why the rosary is our go-to remedy is because you're reciting at least 50 times the words that announce the greatest and most powerful act in history. That's what we're doing.
Over and over.
Number one, God becoming man. When you say the first part of the Hail Mary, when we enter that into that mystery and recite the same words with the same Holy Spiritness that was in Mary, we ask and we invite God to continue to do his greatest works through the same words said in the here and now.
Yeah, that's what psychiatrists say.
They say
that when you imagine something, you give it life. So when you think and meditate about something, you give it life. Since we project this prayer, we're making that event present, the incarnation.
Right. And this is why a family rosary is so important and daily devotion you can incorporate. And only one had to be chosen. You know, if only one of those had to be chosen,
it would be the rosary.
Yeah,
there's a lot of devotions in the
because
church.
Because that's what Our Lady of Fatima says. Pray the daily rosary.
There's a lot of beautiful devotions, but if there's only one that you're going to do,
the rosary. And be creative. You could go jogging, you know, ora et labora, jogging.
Pray and labor.
You could be mopping, washing the dishes. You could just, whatever driving.
Put it on YouTube if you want. Follow along on YouTube with pictures.
You can hear it.
You'll have pictures. Or say, hey, I'm going to try it in Latin this time. Yeah. Go to YouTube. Pray it in Latin with pictures with John Paul II, Pope Ben. They do it in Latin on YouTube.
There is so many ways. Yeah. And I like in Scripture where it says there was 150 fish.
153
fish that when Jesus came up, pour your net on the right side and bring up and you will, you know, and they did, and they pulled out their fish as 153. Fish. What is that?
153 Hail Marys in the rosary.
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
St. Jerome made that commentary. He made that connection. But let's take a look at the rosary and why it's so powerful. There's a prayer called the Our Father. By the way, it's a minor exorcism prayer. Look at what we pray in the end of the Our Father. Deliver us from evil. Now, there's a whole bunch of Greek manuscripts. There's about 4,000 that are on planet Earth. Of the New Testament, many of the Greek manuscripts, it says, quote, deliver us from the evil one, close quote. Not all of them. Some manuscripts say just deliver us from evil. So it's a mix. So some say deliver us from the evil one. Some say deliver us from evil. Well, the catechism weighed in on this in paragraph 2851. The church weighed in on this. It says, in this petition, evil's not an abstraction, but refers to a person. Satan, the evil one, the angel who opposes God. So the church weighed in and said, basically, the Greek manuscripts that say the evil one, that's the preferred translation. Now, let me go to one other thing about the way...
I like that translation. That's the one I usually say under my breath.
Yeah. We say, Dad, deliver us from the evil one. Yeah. God also prepares us to resist the devil in the Our Father. Most people don't catch this. We say, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, so a lot of us think, okay, maybe a toast, or I don't know what they're thinking about, Mexican bread or something, or Yum Yum's donuts. No. The word daily that was written by St. Matthew, who wrote it in Greek, the word daily is the Greek word epiousios. So when you take this word literally, epiousios, this is my opinion, this is right in the catechism. Paragraph 2837. The word epiousios means super essential bread, in other words. And it's funny because the liberals and many people in our church, basically when they shut down the mass for a while, they said, well, it's because it falls in the category of non-essential. The Greek word says that the Eucharist is not only essential, epiousios, super essential.
Right.
It's right in the catechism. Any Catholic that said, well, let's close down the mass because it's not essential. You know, we don't want to spread this fake virus. What? The Greek word in Matthew says that the Eucharist is not essential, super essential. Epiousios 28:37. I just had a meltdown.
Good theology, my love. Yes, and now going into our third segment.
All right, stick around.
Ora por nobis, la morenita.
We are on Rumble Live.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
TGIF, thank God it's Unforgiven, not it's Friday.
Spiritual Warfare, Jesus 911, yep. Jesse and Anita.
Sacrament of Matrimony in action.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah. By the way, we are on Rumble and Facebook Live. Rumble picked us up the day after YouTube terminated us. We've been lost. Yeah, we've been put on lifetime suspension by YouTube for who knows? I don't know what they didn't tell us. I just believe that they hate Jesus and they hate Catholics.
Yeah.
If you don't, and
not only that, they hate for those who stand for truth.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's ultimately what it is. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Our Lady's power over the diabolical. St. John Chrysostom says that when we receive Holy Communion, the devil sees us, he's watching, and when we're coming back, he says he sees us like a lion breathing fire. He's terrified. And St. Cyril of Alexandria, he says that when we receive Holy Communion, he says it subverts the power of the devil and puts him to flight. Mm-hmm. This is why, again, even Father Fortea, the exorcist from Spain, says that the Holy Eucharist is the most powerful weapon we have on earth against the diabolical.
And the only way that it's powerful, if you are living in a state of grace.
That's right.
That's the only way. That you're not committing sacrilege. You really have to be very precise in your spirit. Am I living in a state of grace? Do I deserve to receive communion today?
Am I free
and
from mortal
honest.
Sin?
And be honest. Don't be embarrassed. Yeah. If you feel like,
just sit down there. Do spiritual
communion. That's okay. That's okay that you can't receive communion. Just get right with God and go to confession.
Yes.
But don't go because everybody else goes. Mm-mm. And put your life in danger of eternal hell.
Like many politicians are doing right now. They're receiving Holy Communion.
In damnation.
In a state of mortal sin.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mr. Biden, Ms. Pelosi, many others.
Yes.
Okay. Pray for their conversion.
There's so many we can't count them.
Yeah. You know, also the sign of the cross at the start of the end of the rosary, at the beginning, at the end of the rosary, it's very powerful. St. Benedict, who lived in the 5th century, and he founded monasteries across Europe as fortresses of prayer. He fought against demons as well as against evil influences. He's probably one of the first exorcists in history. St. Patrick a little bit before him, 100 years before him. But St. Benedict used to drive out demons and perform miracles with the sign of the cross. Look, here's some other people say about the sign of the cross. St. Catherine of Siena, we must fight demons courageously by the sign of the cross. St. John Vianney, the demon is very cunning, but he's not strong. Making a sign of the cross puts him to flight. Father Amorth, the sign of the cross chases demons away. This is Catholic teaching because the sign of the cross is a sacramental.
Yeah, and upon awakening, that's the first thing we do is make the sign of the cross. Just drive those demons away because those morning demons are ready to attack you to start getting you angry about what happened the day before.
That's right.
So we want to just regroup with Christ and start our day with Christ. And
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's remember, make sure you pray in the daily rosary. Make sure that all of us are asking Our Lady to bring about the conversion of our family and the protection from demons. And there's a powerful statement. It was actually made by St. Louis de Montfort. I know other bishops have quoted it. But St. Louis de Montfort originally said, no one can live continually in sin and continue to pray the rosary. Either they will give up sin or they will give up the rosary. But you can't do both. You can't be watching pornography and playing with yourself and praying the daily rosary and meditation. One or the other is going to go.
You have to make that decision. So let's go on with what does Satan believe? Satan hates the Mother of God and flees from her presence. So he can't stand being in front of her. It is for this reason that the saints and the church have often suggested to us to make a consecration to Mary each day. You know, there's a morning offering and the morning consecration that you have in your book.
My queen, my mother, I give myself entirely to you, and to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve.
Wherefore, most loving mother, as I am your own, keep me and defend me as your property and possession.
Amen. Quick, so every single day, give myself to Our Lady.
Yeah, give yourself to Our Lady, the morning consecration. And you can consecrate yourself at least once a year.
Whole St. Louis de Montfort consecration.
Jesse and I we've made a decision to start doing the
every year
the consecration
to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort.
And I think it's wonderful because we do it together. So regarding the pivotal role of Mary in the battle against Satan, Carlo Rivera Correra, he's from Mexico, states
that. And remember, he's an exorcist because every bishop is an exorcist by office.
Right. He says, she brings us to Jesus. She protects us and cares for us in this difficult ministry. Mary also participates in exorcism. She herself is an exorcist and expels the devil through her sanctity.
Wow.
Well, that's profound. Short, sweet, succinct on what the role of Mary is. She's participating, and she's the exorcist herself and expels the devil.
Absolutely. Wow. Mm-hmm. And there's also another exorcist that says pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, Father Gabriel Moritz.
What does he say?
He's the chief exorcist from the Vatican, now who's deceased. He said, one day a colleague of mine heard the devil say during an exorcism, quote, every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just think about that.
He got that intel during a session. Yeah.
Just think about that when you're praying the rosary and you're praying for those of your family members, you're actually beating those demons over the head through your rosary if you're asking for the intercession of Mary for your family members.
And of course, that's what we're doing in that prayer. It's intercession,
intercessory.
But the secret that makes this prayer so effective is that the rosary is both prayer. Remember, talking to God, talking to Our Lady, and it's also meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all prayers addressed to the Father, to the Blessed Virgin, and to the Holy Trinity. And this is a meditation centered on Christ, the rosary, because it's all the 20 aspects of the life of Christ, the real important aspects. And it's once again, I think it's Cardinal Norberto Rivera. He says, anyone who goes to Mary and prays the rosary cannot be touched by Satan. Repeat that again, okay? Father Amorth, he says, anyone who goes to Mary and prays the rosary cannot be touched by Satan, Father Gabriel Amorth.
Yeah, because you're protected. And as long as you're living in the state of grace, your prayers are going to be efficacious.
Remember,
don't block the efficacy of your prayer living in mortal sin. You can't have them both.
Can't do both at the same day, no.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus consigns, this is what Father Golby from the Marian Movement of Priests says. He says, Jesus consigns this key, which represents his divine power, into my hand, because as his mother, mediatrix between you and my son, there is entrusted to me the task of conquering Satan and his powerful army of evil. It is with this key that I'm able to open and shut the door to the abyss, close quote. Also Our Lady told, she also said, as recorded by Father Golby, she said, the chain with which the great dragon is to be bound is made up of prayer made with me and by means of me. This prayer is that of the Holy Rosary. A chain has the function of first limiting action, then of imprisoning, and finally of making ineffective every activity of the one who has been bound by it, close quote. So Our Lady is saying that the rosary binds Satan. And that's a biblical term. We bind and unbind. Those are New Testament terms. The rosary binds Satan.
Yeah, and you can picture that with the rosary around the dragon. Just think about that. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And then as
you're praying.
As you're praying, the image you're
that blind, meditation will yeah. make you like keep yeah. you fired, but I gotta keep praying. I'm wrapping this rosary like a chain around yeah. the devil. Yeah. Those meditations yeah. help.
Right. It does help. Yeah. Absolutely. So why don't we talk about the catechism, Council of Trent, right?
Yeah. Council of Trent talks about what happens when a person's dying, this yeah. section right here.
Right. It teaches that at no time is the devil's attack more intense than at the moment of our approaching death, quote unquote. In short, then, the devils attack us at the moment of death most fiercely at our most vulnerable point. Just a skillful general will storm a fortress on the side where he perceives the walls to be the weakest. See how important it is at the moment of your death to be living in a state of grace and to receive the prayers of the church. As a catechism, and a catechism continues as it instructs us, each man receives his internal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death. In particular, judgment that refers his life to Christ, either entrance immediately into the blessedness of heaven or entrance through a purification in purgatory or immediate and everlasting damnation.
One of three.
Wow, one of three. There you go, the last four things.
Yeah. Nevertheless, if we've lived a good life, we've nothing to fear if you live in a state of grace, okay? For the church, as we can learn from the funeral liturgy in the Roman Missal says, it holds out for us the hope of the presence of Mary, the angels, and all the saints at this most decisive moment of our lives. So we're being told in the funeral liturgy, mm-hmm. if you're in a state of grace, Mary and the whole celestial court is around your bed as you're dying.
Yeah, and if you're living in a state of mortal sin, the demons will be there, and you die in fear and
Yeah, you're
terror.
Unprotected by Mary.
You die in fear.
Because the just demons like are there, like the Council
of Trent. That president from Venezuela.
Well, yeah.
He was...
He screamed.
He screamed in terror.
When he was dying, they wrote an article about his death, and it was horrible. He was screaming. They said he was tortured. They said his face looked like he was seeing monsters, and he was screaming, no, I don't want to die. Help. Again, demons are around your bed. You either have the assistance of Mary and the angels to drive them away. If they don't drive them away,
yeah.
you're going to die seeing demons.
Yep. So that's why we pray. Here comes our mother.
Stick
Ora
around.
Por nobis.
One more segment.
The angel grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Regina Chaley, Ora Pro Nobis.
We are back. Jesus 911, Spiritual Warfare with Jesse and Anita.
This is the month of May. Remember, it's the month of Our
yes.
Lady. The entire month.
The entire month. She needs the yeah, eternity.
Exactly. And you know what? She actually gets the entire year because we pray the rosary. We should be praying the rosary every day as Catholics.
Right.
We're talking about Mary's power against the diabolical. And actually, I think the St. Alphonsus of Liguria actually summed it up, the fact that the way demons do attack us as we're about to die. And he
right.
gave a little reflection on this that I think is very, very powerful.
Yeah, he says...
Who said this?
St. Alphonsus of Liguria.
Okay,
he's a bishop, and he was the founder of the Redemptorist Order. He's also a doctor of the church.
One of the few doctors of the church.
So he says, so it is with Christians who face death. The devil will come to tempt them, but their guardian angels will come to strengthen them. Their patron saints and protectors will come also, as well as Saint Michael, the archangel, whom God has appointed as the defender of his faithful servants at the time of their death. The Blessed Virgin Mary will also come to protect her children, who so often pray to her for help. Now, at the hour of our death, St. Francis Liguria.
Pray for us.
Wow.
So he's saying that the rosary, all those rosaries, God is just, he's putting like in a bank account. And when we need them, we're about to die, he's going to unleash all the graces by sending Mary to our bedside. That's
Mary,
what he says.
Mary, the saints, Saint Michael, the archangel. So whoever your patron saint is, I got two.
He'll be there?
Yeah, I got Saint Anne. Anne is my patron saint. Anita. Oh, wow, the mother of Mary.
The mother of our mother.
And my daughter, her name is Anne Marie. She's going to have two. She'll have Mary and St. Anne.
Wow, praise
God.
So
that's just beautiful. That's beautiful.
You know, and
that's why it's important for you to name your children saint names.
Right.
Very important. Biblical names.
Yes. Or tradition.
Or tradition.
Scripture tradition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Our Lady's seven promises to those who meditate on her seven sorrows, it's called the Dolorosary. Two of those promises pertain to the topic right now that we're talking about,
yep,
about Mary defending us at our bedside against demons, mm-hmm, when we're dying. Promise number five, Our Lady says, I will defend them in their spiritual lives with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives, to include your death. Obviously, that's what it means.
Right.
Point number six, she gets a little bit more specific here. Our Lady says, and the promises of the seven promises of Our Lady of Sorrows. Promise number six, I will help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that when they're dying, there's stories are recorded in the church that people see Mary when they die, and they just, mm-hmm, still say, how beautiful, she's beautiful. And then they close their eyes and die. That's the promise right there.
Yep.
She allows you to look at her before you die, and when you see her, you say, "Oh yeah, I'm on a safe path.
Right.
I'm in good hands right now. I know where I'm going."
Because you die in peace.
Yes.
Not in terror.
And yeah, so again, this is the spiritual warfare at its absolute height. It's the place in which the dominion of Satan is destroyed, and guess who's standing there at the foot of the cross? Our Lady.
Yeah, one of the seven sorrows of Mary.
Our Lady.
Sword of Sorrow.
She shall crush your head now, and I'm referring to the demons.
Mm-hmm.
She will, because she's standing at the foot of the cross, and this is one of the reasons why, when she became Queen of Heaven and Earth, our Lord gave to her perfect coercive power over demons. It's God's will that she has this power, Genesis 3:15. She has this capacity to crush demons' heads and to reign over them, Genesis 3:15. She doesn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. A lot of exorcists say she just shows up to exorcisms, to sessions, and the demons are gone. By the way, I just use the word coercive. Some people do ask, mm-hmm, me, Jess, what does it mean when exorcists say that, mm-hmm, Our Lady has coercive power over demons?
I'm glad I was going to mention that, ask you that.
It is important.
Yes.
Coercive means to wield power, to exercise rule and authority over.
Mm-hmm.
Power over, exercise rule over, and authority over another person. That's called coercive power. And St. Louis de Montfort called the rosary the little summa. Why did he say that? Because it gives us, because it gives us victory over our enemies. And who's enemy number one? Satan.
Yep. Wow, Mary was given that power. That's there at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
So when you see that image of Our Lady there at the foot of the cross, just remember the power that she was given at that point.
Everything was downloaded.
Once the blood of Jesus was shed, there the blood of God's mercy poured onto Our Lady.
And at that point, she became Our Lady of Mediatrix of all graces.
Right, she did.
Because she cooperated with the sufferings of her son, at that moment she merited all the graces. Notice what I said, A-L-L, all the graces, mm-hmm, and all the graces that come to planet Earth come through her hands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's just beautiful.
What about the promises, Anita, the rosary?
Okay, let's look at the promise. This applies to our topic right
about
now.
About the devil.
Okay.
Being at the foot of your bed when you're dying.
Right,
yeah,
it says, yeah. Promise number two, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary.
Special protection.
Number three, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. Mm. And that's what we're fighting every day. Destroy vice, decrease sin and defeat heresies.
That's what the culture of death is.
Yeah, the culture of death. And I believe all the podcasters, especially Virgin Most Powerful, that's what we're doing. We're defeating heresies, because I know everybody, all the staff and all the talk show hosts are prayerful sons and daughters of Christ, and they honor the rosary and Our Lady. So that's what we're doing, and we need to be armed up.
Yes.
So, okay, so prayer number...
Promise
number five. The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish.
What does that mean? Won't go to hell.
Won't go
that's
to
what
hell.
It means.
Yeah. If you pray the rosary area there, the promises...
You won't go to hell.
Will not perish. Right.
Yeah, that's what it meant, perish into damnation.
Perish death.
Yeah.
Number 13, okay.
These are promises that Mary made to St. Dominic.
Right, okay? And here we go. I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death.
Entire celestial court.
Wow.
All the angels and saints and Mary, the queen, the general, around your bed as you're dying.
Wow, that's just so beautiful. Gosh,
that's why a lot of people, they die and they're smiling. They're saying, there she is. Is she so beautiful? And then they close their eyes and they die.
Yeah.
These are the promises that she keeps.
Right. And you know, before you close your eyes, before you fall into a deep sleep, just think about all the celestial court around your bed. Just think of how it would be. And then you fall asleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we got a few minutes. There's also a tradition about the three Hail Marys for protection. So I'll get into that, and we'll probably wrap it up there. Yes. The three Hail Mary devotion each morning and evening in honor of Mary's special privilege associated with the Holy Trinity. This has been encouraged by saints and popes, including St. Anthony of Padua, St. Leonard of Port Morici, St. Alphonsus of Liguori. So praying three Hail Marys is intended to direct our hearts and minds to worship the triune God, who has chosen to honor Mary in a special way. Also, it aims at helping us avoid serious sin by preserving purity of mind and heart through Mary's intercession. And during an apparition to Saint Gertrude, the Blessed Mother is said to have promised the following quote: "To any soul who faithfully prays the three Hail Marys, I will appear at the hour of death in a splendor of beauty so extraordinary that it will fill the soul with heavenly consolation." And St. Leonard of Port Maurice, back in the 18th century, he often preached of the three Hail Marys to be done every morning and every evening in honor of Mary's Immaculate Conception to obtain the grace of avoiding all mortal sin during the day and during the night.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And, you know, there's a story, I can't recall the title of the book on hell.
Well, what's the story? What's the story?
The story of the two gentlemen that lived a life of debauchery. And I'm just making the story really short.
Oh, it's from 10.
It's brief. It's from 10.
Yeah.
And one of the gentlemen, they're both Catholic. One died. The other one went to bed. And it was the evening that they were out and about gallivanting and doing their thing. One of them went to bed, and he said, you know, I got to pray my three rosaries. So he prayed his three Hail Marys.
Kind of in a drunken stupor,
And he goes, oh, I got to do that. Well, it turned out that his friend died.
That night
and went to hell. And this gentleman, his friend, appeared to him and says, I'm in hell because I didn't pray the three Hail Marys as you did to save. So there you go. He was in mortal sin.
Even though he was in a drunken stupor.
He prayed the three Hail Marys.
His friend died. He didn't die.
Died.
And his friend appeared to him from hell saying, you're saved because you prayed the three Hail Marys. Even though you did it lackluster, half-hearted. Powerful.
So it's so important to pray the three Hail Marys. But, you know, a lot of times people in the morning, they pray their rosary, and those three Hail Marys are already included
in that.
So that's one way you can so, accomplish that one set of three.
So let's pray then for the grace of final perseverance, the grace of a happy death, and the grace of seeing Mary during our last agony. For as the letter of the Hebrews tells us in 10:31, quote, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Mm-hmm. Remember, our Lord says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. He does not like the truth. Truth and lies are complete opposites. Mm-hmm. Here's a secular liberal bumper sticker that's a big fat lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This is not true. Words actually hurt you more than being punched or kicked. Words, especially curse words or bad words or insults, slander, calumny, they hurt deeply. And guess what? Your prayers hurt demons. We'll probably talk about that next time. Hey, that's a wrap.
Wow. What a
show's over.
Fast show.
End of watch.
Yes. And we're just so honored to be with the smartest people in Virgin.
The smartest audience out there.
Yeah, audience. Virgin Most Powerful Audience. We love
you. Thank you for your faithfulness. You can catch us on Rumble. We're on Rumble Live right now. We're also on Facebook, Rumble and Facebook, other platforms. Thank you very much for being our Friday journey with us on Fridays. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands
Happy
on apologetics.
Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers. And we've seen the Salve Regina.
We'll just say Ave Maria, ora pro nobis. Time's up. It's a wrap. We're not going to have a chance. God bless you. Keep the faith. Tobias and Sarah signing out.